The Mammy, Agnes Brown, Book One. Written and read by Brendan O'Carroll.
If there can be such a thing, it was a great funeral. Agnes sat in the front pew during the Mass, flanked by Marion on one side and her seven orphans on the other. The children were pale from a mixture of fear because they didn't really understand what was going on, and excitement because people kept coming up to them and rubbing their hair and mumbling, "God bless you," or "God love you, child," at the same time pressing money into their hands. As the priest announced that the Mass had ended, a line of people formed, and one by one they shook hands with Mrs. Brown and Mark, and they patted the heads of the children. Almost without exception, they would say to Mrs. Brown, "Sorry for your troubles," and to Mark, "You're the man of the house now, good lad." Mark understood this, well, nearly understood it. It meant, he thought, that he would be expected to take his father's place, bring in the money, protect the family, both of which he was prepared to do and felt able to do. He worried, though, he hoped it didn't also mean that he had to sleep with his mother. He wasn't into that. No way. The hearse pulled slowly away from the church. Behind it walked the funeral attendants, led by the Brown family. Mammy was flanked by her children, Cathy holding her left hand and Frankie linking her right arm. Mark walked behind her. He held Trevor's hand and beside him walked Rory, holding a twin in each hand. It was about a mile to Ballybock Cemetery. On the way, the hearse turned down James Larkin Court. All the curtains and all the windows in every flat were drawn. The hearse stopped outside the Browns' front door. On the door, a simple white card with a black border was pinned. It read, "Reza Brown, R.I.P." The hearse paused for a minute, then with a growl, moved on again. They were within sight of the cemetery when Agnes first heard the hiss. She was puzzled initially, but then a huge puff of steam from the front of the Ford Zephyr, that was the hearse, announced that something was amiss with the vehicle. It stopped abruptly and the trailing crowd came to a ragged halt. The driver and his assistant jumped from the front of the vehicle. Some of the men went up to join them. There followed a communal staring into the engine, then a discussion of how far the cemetery was. The distance was a moot point. It seemed it was just too far to carry the coffin, and yet the vehicle could not be driven for fear of damaging the engine. The decision was made to push the hearse to the gates and carry the coffin from there. More men were drafted from the cortege, and with a heave, the Zephyr lurched forward.